Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for Innovation, episode 30. My name is Adam Curtis, and I think this might be a Sourcing for Innovation first. We're going to have a roundtable discussion today with three excellent folks from Catalyte talking about National Mentoring Month. January is National Mentoring Month. We want to dive into what that means, how we practice it at Catalyte, and how both the mentor and the mentee can get a lot out of that relationship. But before we start digging into it, why don't we go around the virtual room here and have everybody introduce themselves.
All right, I'll start off. I'm Christine Fox. I am located in Portland, and I lead the apprentice program here at Catalyte. I've been here almost 5 years and loving every day of it. Andrew, why don't you go next?
Yeah, I'm Andrew Silverman. I'm a technical manager over here at Catalyte, focusing on mostly on our apprentices, originally from New York City, now just outside of Baltimore. Ed, over to you.
All right, let me round this out. Hi, guys. I'm Ed. I'm from Chicago. Been with the company for about 2 years. I'm a dev too, so I'm pretty fresh out of the training program. That gives me a unique set of tools to kind of help deal with people that are in it. And yeah, I'm loving it so far. Ready to keep going.
I feel that Baltimore is cosplaying Chicago this week, Ed, with our weather here. It was down to, I think, 11 degrees yesterday, which I'm sure for you in January is probably balmy.
You guys are still in the positive.
Out there with your Bermuda shorts on. Well, thank you all again for joining us. As Ed mentioned, we have sort of a real breadth of folks here from Catalyte representing a lot of different angles for what we do, sort of different seniority levels, different positions within the organization, different viewpoints on this idea of mentoring. So as we get talking about that, let's level set for a second. Christine, we'll start with you, Andrew, and Ed. I want to get each of your individual definitions of what mentoring means. Christine, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say, you know, mentoring is a relationship. When you really come down to it, it's a trusting relationship where you've got two people involved. One has more wisdom, maybe more life experience, more work experience, and that person is there to help guide, not to tell, but to guide, to help navigate through some things. Along with extra experience and wisdom comes a lot of mistakes that we may have made in our careers before. So part of the work that we do is to help people navigate around those. You know, we also get to have a chance to bring in, you know, again, insight from a lot of different factors there.
Andrew, how would you define mentoring?
Yeah, I look at it a lot the way Christine said. You know, we're here as guidance, right? We're here to see these people that are coming into a new industry, coach them, guide them, direct them through based on sharing our experience and hearing what they're going through. They're probably not seeing anything that we haven't seen before or went through ourselves. You know, and just trying to give them the nudges in the right direction and hoping they follow, right? You always say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, so mentorship really is two ways. If someone doesn't want to be part of it, they're not going to get a lot out of it. If they want to get something out of it, they will.
And to build off that, I mean, I see it slightly differently. I mean, obviously there's like a, you know, like a guidance, like a hierarchy, right? Like you look to them for guidance. Since I'm very much still in the process of like my professional development, I'm just looking back a couple of years. So it's like, I'm putting on the shoes I just had on. And, you know, what did it feel like to be in that spot? You know, how lost, you know, when you do get lost, you know, that feeling of like, oh, is asking a bad thing? Helping people get out of like the frozen wastes of like being locked in by your own like self-doubt. And when you're early on in your career, that's like your biggest hurdle. It's the tech, like if we get to here, your technical ability will carry you, but you need to have that ability to let yourself do it. And that's where I kind of focus in with my mentoring, because I can't come from a point of extreme expertise. You know, I'm still learning with the rest of them. But I can definitely give them that piece of advice that You know, when I was frozen and super stuck and, you know, felt like if I ask this question, everyone will know the jig is up and, you know, I don't know anything. Just making it transparent to them that there is no bad questions. We're in a infinitely unfolding art form with no right answer. There are many, but there's not one. It's hard to navigate. So just giving them those nudges to like keep the faith in your ability, because you will have it if you allow yourself to.
I was actually in a conversation with one of our sales apprentices, Aiden, yesterday, and I asked him a similar question about imposter syndrome, that he's really into asking questions and he's always seeking answers. I'm like, how do you balance that with not wanting to sort of give too much away that you are new to this? And it sounds like sort of in mentoring a little bit, Ed, from what you said, it's the same thing, that you need to ask questions, you need to put yourself out there, even if it makes you seem new to this as you are, because there's no other way in which you are going to grow. You are in that process of growing that you said as well. So how have you bridged your current position, which is mentee, still learning a lot from people like Christine and Andrew, and mentor, trying to pass on your own circumstances and your own experiences to the next generation of Catalytes?
Yeah, and that's kind of like my superpower, is I'm allowed to be in kind of like that flux area where I'm still developing, still my skill sets on the way up. That gives me like the unique insight of having like an intimate connection to those problems that people have when they're earlier on, you know, self-doubt, the ability to allow yourself to learn, and honestly, communication and like being visible to your teammates, making your problems visible and communicating them. Those are like your big hurdles early on. And I have the special skill set of, it's kind of where most of my work has been done, is trying to fill in all those intangibles. So yeah, I think just you take in what you get from the people above you and you try and apply it to the person you were. And that helps you be the best mentor for like fresher people. Say if you're I'm kind of like a middleman for mentoring, right? Almost translate it down to the new people, but.
Yeah, the interesting thing I'm picking out here too is that, you know, folks like Christine or Andrew, who are maybe a little bit, you know, further along in their careers, have a vantage point and have an idea of what to say in terms of looking back. But, you know, Andrew and Christine, you aren't in that day-to-day. Maybe it's been a little bit of a while since you had those feelings so intensely of imposter syndrome or being new to the situation. Oh, Andrew's shaking his head. No, go ahead, Andrew. You feel like you're how do you do that? How do you balance being a senior leader and mentor with trying to still connect on that very emotional or raw level with people who are just coming in, who are, again, in a different place than you are now in your career?
I mean, it never ends. You're always being asked to do something new, something tough, something you haven't seen before. And the further you get along, the harder it is. When you're at a place where Ed is, there's probably someone out there who knows the general answers to the stuff that he's getting asked. When you get to that senior developer level, moving into magic like that, stuff comes up and it's really, someone actually has to figure it out. So it's harder, but there's always someone higher up. There's always someone with different knowledge than you. And it's finding those mentorship, you know, out there that could do. And that's not going to be, you know, when you're early on in your career, it might be one or two people that can really just mentor everything you're going through. As you get further on, it's going to be more specialized. There's things that I might have to go to someone who's a senior level architect for some tech mentorship when it comes into dealing with a tough, you know, managerial situation, someone who's under me, who's not performing the way they should, or I need to do guidance to. I need to find someone like Christine, who has a great history and a great track record there. But we always need mentors. We always have this imposter syndrome. There's only two times when you're not going to have it. One is you're not being challenged enough. And that means it's time to find something more challenging. So that comes back and you're struggling again. And the other is you've kind of got arrogant. Either way, you're not in a good spot and you're probably not helping your team out the way you can be. We need to be challenged and we need to be mentored up to that level that we don't need that type of mentorship anymore. And then we find new mentorship.
Yeah, I'll to dovetail off of that, I definitely agree with Andrew. I mean, there are times when I've walked into something and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But what I will say is, having experience, you're like, okay, not my first rodeo on this. I know now how to go about and ask that. Whereas I think when you're more junior in your career, you don't have that ability to say, I can't solve this on my own. And it's okay. There are other people. It's a collaborative thing. And I don't know if you're gonna poke us on this a little bit, Adam, or not, but one thing I think that's very crucial in a good relationship is having that vulnerability. Not being so afraid to just say, all right, I just walked into a horrible mess. You know, can we just dissect this? Can we walk it back? You know, what did you do? You know, and trust me, a lot of us will have stories like, oh yeah, I've done something similar. And you know what? I'm still alive. I still have a job. It's okay. You will get over it. But yeah, I think that I do want to draw out that just being able to say, I have questions, I need help, I don't know. And even as a mentor, to say, you know what, you raise a really good point. I don't know that either, but I'm going to help you find someone who does know that. So that, again, it is not a cookie cutter thing, and it is not one size fits all, and it is collaborative. I mean, Andrew and I are back and forth on so many different things all the time, and I think that's what you find in an organization. And Catalyte is really, really great at this, is that you can go to almost anybody and say, I know you're an expert in this, or I know you've got more experience. Can you help me? Can you listen to me?
I think going hand in hand with vulnerability that might be a little bit more on the mentee side is the empathy, which comes from the mentor side. If the mentor, if the leadership, if the company isn't building a culture of empathy, I think that it's really hard then to be vulnerable, to open up like that, to admit that you might not know what you do because you feel that you're going to be knocked down for it rather than being rewarded for trying to find out the answer. How does an organization, or how can you as an individual sort of build up that empathy culture or that empathy, I don't know, vibes as it were, in order to, you know, in order to elicit vulnerability and allow people to, you know, grow their careers without fear, without worry of asking questions.
You have to make it a safe space for everybody, right? So you're gonna have people coming in new, and it's always a habit, right? We want to hide what we're struggling with. We want to do it, but for people like me and Christine, this isn't our first rodeo. We've seen it. We can tell when you're struggling, and if you're hiding it, you're not actually hiding it. So we're gonna come at it, and we're gonna pull it out of you, right? And we're gonna make you feel vulnerable, and then we're gonna protect you from it and build you back up. And it's going to take a few times, and as you're seeing, wow, I was having this trouble here. I thought I was going to be in trouble for it, and I didn't. I got coaching that helped me, you know, for the next time, so I don't have those feelings again. And as you do that, then they learn, you know, I don't have to try and hide it because I can't hide it. And also, I don't have to hide it because there's this, you know, there's this caring people out there who wants us all to succeed and is going to help me through it. And you know, gonna do that after. I can feel vulnerable around them because they're not gonna knock me down for it.
Ed, do you think that that's something that's started in the Catalyte training, the development portion of our apprenticeship? I mean, you have a lot of new people who might be looking around the room trying to figure out who's the smartest developer here or who's the most apt at sales. Know that you are competing for positions, but yet I hear constantly that it is very collaborative, it is very team focused, it is very pull everybody forward, leave no person behind. Was that your experience as well?
That's something from the group project that we did in the cycle. That's something that I've carried with me throughout. So on client, we're in a decently sized team right now, and it's just so important to foster that, I guess, the energy of just sharing everything. You know, how's your day been? Just you need to have like a genuine connection with your teammates. In the training program, you see the benefits of that just by, yes, we're competing against each other, but we're also trying to build the same thing. So, yeah, I'm trying to like look better than someone else, but you find out when the team fails, that's a group failure, right? So everyone looks worse, even if it's like, well, I did better than that guy. It's really about just maintaining that team mentality. And this is kind of like a leftover from being a former, trust me, I was a varsity athlete. But it's that team energy. You want to have a good locker room. You know, that applies to everything, you know, at family dinner. You know, it's, if you come with bad energy, you're probably going to get it back. You know, depends. But it's really about being the most supportive you can to your teammates so that when you ask for help, you get it. That's lovely. But also, you want them to feel like if anything is brought up, the team's going to swarm. You don't want to be a team of five developers all on separate islands. You're going to be paying a lot in travel costs. You know, it's a lot better when your team has a short line of communication to each other. And the shorter that is, you'll find benefits in all areas, you know. And I mean, to avoid ranting more, pretty much in the Catalyte training program, like, that's where it became very obvious that working together with people, although you are competing against them, it's all in your best interests because you're pulling a heavy wagon.
For those, either Andrew or Christine, who maybe don't have that mindset, who maybe are a little bit more independent, or going back to Andrew, what you said earlier, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but can't make them drink. How do you promote mentoring in the mentor-mentee relationship without making it feel forced, or without, you know, making it the part of a job that people don't want to do and therefore don't, or, you know, self-sabotage the relationship in some way?
I think the most important thing to do there is listen. Ask some leading questions when you're meeting with people, but really listen and what they're doing, what they're working on is going to come out. And learn, there's times that you really want to give a lot of strong advice, but there's other times when you just kind of got to give them a nudge in the right direction. Like, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? You know, instead of giving instructions, just hear where they're, let them know that you're there for it, build up that relationship. And once that's good, once you have the relationship where you can trust, then it's easier to start being more direct and being more aggressive when you have to with some of your comments and things you have to say. If you start out the relationship like that, it's over before it starts. Kind of what Ed was talking about, you know, the whole, you know, being on a team thing. You could have the best, the most skilled team in the world, but if they don't play together right, those teams are going to fail. And I've been on those teams, both in software development and in athletics, where we were the most talented group out there, and we failed horribly. The best teams that I've been on have never been because we're the most skilled. It's because we knew how to work together and, you know, bring the best out of each other. And when you're a mentee, you know, mentee-mentor relationships, it's not really this complete one-way thing where it's all this coming down. We learn so much from those that we're mentoring.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost a team within a team there. You know, if you think about, I don't know, tennis doubles, you know, doubles, skull, rowing. I'm trying to think of other two people sports. Most of them were racket sports, badminton. You can go back and forth, but you have to be able to communicate between the two. If you get off kilter, if at the point you have a bad locker room, you have some bad attitudes there, then that's going to spill over into your actual performance. In this case, the performance of mentee mentor is to help someone on their career progression. And if that's stalling, then there's obviously something wrong with that team dynamic, I would take it.
Mm-hmm. And you got to make a personal connection. You know, this is a professional mechanism, you know, mentor mentee. It's not something that you see in, you know, typical friendships, but you need to make it like just a very real friendship with another person. Remove the job, remove the tasks. How are you? You know, these very basic things that seems like we're getting further and further away from. Just make that basic connection with the person. Find out what makes them tick. Christine is one of my mentors. I view her in the same light as, you know, like a mother, an aunt. She knows everything about me, and that's extremely vital to how she's able to help me or like know when I'm going through something. You know, you keep it very sterile and professional, you run the risk of it being that, you know, you just reach out once a week. Hey, how are things going? And then they just tell you about the stuff they're working on. Like, I care. You, the more you care about the person, the more they're going to give you. And it's just much better for everyone.
How formal then can you make a mentoring program within an organization? Because it can be very sterile that like, here, Ed, here is your new mentor. Their name is Adam. Mm-hmm. He is going to be talking to you rather than like, hey, like, you know, talk to your teammates, talk to other people. I can see the pros and cons of yeah. each from the organizational level. Like, it's very easy to match somebody up, but that might not have the personal connection. But also, if you allow someone just to sort of float around and not make any personal connections, then they might not ever take advantage of the mentoring that is out there. So how do you balance that personal connection with having some sort of program or rigor or structure behind it?
The benefit to having structure is, you know, people will meet each other, right? It will happen. And I think it's important to have the mechanism and like the armatures in place to put people where they need to be. It really does fall upon who's called on to make the personal connection. You can't rely on a professional infrastructure to be like, all right, now make a personal connection with this person. All they can do is tell you to contact them. So like, if you're a mentor, you need to take that upon yourself. So the balancing act is within your own personality, you know, suppress some of the goofness. Obviously we're not running a comedy club here. Like you're trying to develop people professionally, but if it's in such a sterile manner that they don't know you, you're not going to know, you know, it's much better when you allow a little bit of your humanity in. I mean, I found that in work in general, like lead with personality, lead with love and warmth. And you'll find you'll get a lot better back. People tend to react well to love.
Along those lines, Christine, you and I have talked before about this idea of coaching. Is there a difference, or where is the difference, and where maybe is the overlap between coaching in an apprenticeship, mentoring in an apprenticeship, and is one maybe more of that personal lane and the other one maybe a little bit more of that organizational or professional lane?
Yeah, I would say they're separate, but they overlap, and you may be in a coaching session that turns mentoring. And I think we have to not look at it as two very separate paths. Like, okay, today is all about coaching. Tomorrow will be about mentoring. It's really about the relationship, the situation that you're dealing with at the moment. And sometimes I may step in and be like, I'm going to give you some advice. You can do with it as you wish, but I'm going to give you this advice because that's where I think you might need it. And other times it might be, what do you think? What if, you know, let's play out some scenarios. So it does vary a little bit. So sometimes as coaching to me is a little more tactical, mentoring is a little more long-term, strategic. And I think in mentoring, you can have more than one mentor in your life, and you may evolve from a mentor to a different mentor too. And so it's really about a relationship that's fluid. And I think your coach is going to be probably your team lead, your manager, maybe another employee. The mentor, it tends to be someone who has seen a little bit more in life too. It was interesting. I'm going to read this because I came across this on LinkedIn today that I thought was kind of funny. Had to do with mentoring and coaching and things, but it said, just because I give you advice, it doesn't mean I know more than you. It just means that I've done more stupid stuff.
Stuff, yes. Stuff. Said, thank you for keeping me from hitting the drop button. Yeah.
But I laughed because I'm like, yep, sometimes that's how it is. And I think back and I wish I had someone in my life earlier to guide me on some of those things. But
so what I'm hearing is to pick the craziest person in the organization who's made the most mistakes, and that's the best mentor. Is that right?
Why do you think I'm here?
The one who's learned the most from those mistakes, right? We don't all get better from it, and we usually do from finding mentors. I will be the first one to admit, early in my career, I was a bad employee. I was not good at coding. and I was not a good teammate. I eventually got to be a pretty good coder, and I still wasn't a good teammate. And it took a mentor that I had to pull me on the side and kind of explain to me what was going on and, you know, give me a little bit of tough love, but from a mentorship point of time, that this is what you're doing and this team is not functioning, you know, it's not all your fault, but you're not making it better either. And to really see that, and, you know, I wish I would have had that earlier in my career, because it took me a long time for my career to get going, and it almost didn't go anywhere because of that.
I love that that pivotal moment happened, because I can attest, being your colleague for so many years, that that was, I want to find that person and tell them thank you, because, you know, sometimes it's like you've got that raw talent, you've got a lot of things, but you don't maybe know, someone hasn't really taken the time to care enough to pull you aside and say, like, kind of like, I see your raw talent. I know you're smart. I know you have the capability. Let's just set you straight on some things. So, yeah.
We've talked about vulnerability. We've talked about empathy. We've talked about, you know, the ability to ask questions, to give feedback, to take feedback. Is there one or two other attributes that each of you can think of that really makes an effective mentor and or an effective mentee? Andrew, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll say, I think one of the most important things is that you can't always be a friend. Sometimes you have to be really firm and really direct, because that will get someone where they need to be. If someone's doing something wrong and you're unwilling to point it out to them because you're unwilling to, you know, to upset them or hurt their feelings like that, you are doing them an injustice, because it might be completely obvious to everyone around them, but if they don't see it, they're not going to change. And if they're not changing, it's probably because they don't realize it and no one's brought it to their attention.
For a mentee, it's self-awareness, you know who you are. Figure out the perception of yourself to your teammates between how you think of yourself, coalesce that, find it to center. And then as a mentee or as a mentor, like for me, like I said, it's memory. Just remember where you once were. Like I was a mechanic 3 years ago, you know, now I'm working in data science, allowing people to struggle. But also letting them know it's like, so did I. So did everyone. It's something that will happen to everyone. And just remembering how it felt when you were stuck on something. It's for me, you know, that's what helps me really connect with my mentees.
Christine, you get the last word.
Yeah, I think importance of a mentor is you got to meet people where they're at, and you cannot, I said that before, it's not like a cookie cutter. I don't approach every single one of my check-ins with folks in the same exact way, because I also know them a little bit better. And then the other thing I think is, like, you're never too old to be a mentee. And I think that's the one thing that I'm kind of taking away from this, is that unofficially, there are people that I look up to and I idolize in how they do things. And I think it's just recognizing that there are times where we might want to make that more formal in our own lives to kind of charge us to be even better mentors. But yeah, I think it's just building that trust, building that care, having some skin in the game is really important, especially for the mentor.
Christine Fox, Andrew Silverman, Ed Waters, first of all, thank you for being such incredible mentors at Catalyte. And secondly, thank you so much for having the conversation today about mentoring. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, Adam.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.